Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. Today, I'm here in Orange County with three very special guests here at SeniorServe. SeniorServe is one of the largest community-based organizations here in the Southern California area, and we're going to learn a little bit more about what the leaders at SeniorServe are doing and the future of SeniorServe, including a very special event coming up in October. So I want to go ahead and introduce our guests today. First of all, we have Marianne Vincent, who has quite a bit of knowledge in the healthcare industry. She serves on the board of SeniorServe. Welcome, Marianne.
Good morning, Gavin. Good
morning. And then we also have Gio Corso. Gio is the Vice President of Home Care and Services and has been with SeniorServe for about 6 years. Welcome, Gio.
Happy to be here.
Thanks so much. And then lastly, we have Susan Papiri. Susan Papiri oversees business development here at SeniorServe and has a very special event coming up in October. Susan, would you mind sharing a little bit about that event and maybe just a quick preview for the audience?
I would be happy to. The Senior Care Hero Awards is known as the Academy Awards of the senior industry, and I will be telling you more about that towards the end.
Great, Susan. We'll look forward to hearing more about that. Let's go ahead and start with Marianne. Marianne, you've been quite an expert, I guess you can say, in population health. Are there a lot of experts in population health, Marianne?
Well, I haven't met too many of the experts. I think one of the things about population health is how you define it. And I think each one of those experts will define it differently depending on what their perspective is. Across the country, there are some organizations that are actually doing population health very well, but it's the difference between, are you focusing on a population by disease condition, or is it a demographic population? So there's, you know, again, I think it's whoever you're speaking to, but it's definitely, it is the buzzword today, and it's the direction that healthcare is moving to, as evidenced by all of these consolidations, whether it's health plan, hospitals, medical groups coming together, because that's the only way, really, I think they're going to be able to absorb the cost is through volumes. But I like the focus. You know, I've been a nurse for a very long time. I really like the focus on keeping the community healthy, where it's counterintuitive because we'll have fewer people in hospital beds. But I think it's a great direction to move into. I'm really excited about the future.
Great. Well, good to hear that excitement. And a lot of people are kind of dreading the future and worried about the future. So it's neat to see that you're open to change and now you're helping with some of that change here at SeniorServe. Before we get over to Gio, Marianne, can you tell us something that's maybe a little bit unusual or something that the audience may not know about you?
Well, I like to keep those things hidden, you know, so I can surprise people. Maybe something people don't know is I'm a music minister in my church, and that's one way I balance my life. So I've been, I can get up and sing in front of 500 people and not have a problem with that. Sometimes standing up and speaking in front of 500 people makes me a little bit nervous, but yeah, a lot of people don't know that about me, but it's always in church.
Very good. Well, perhaps you can share a tune before the end of the podcast here. We might call on you here in a second. So Marianne has quite a bit of knowledge. She has worked with groups like Dignity, St. Joseph Health System, working with performance improvement and really helping with change in a lot of her roles and her role here as a board member at SeniorServe. So we'll get to know a little bit more about Marianne's thoughts here in a moment. Let's also go over to Gio Corso. Again, Gio is the Vice President of Home Care and Services. And Gio, before you go into more about your role, why don't you share with the audience maybe something you're passionate about or something folks may not know about you?
Well, it's glad to be here. Glad to be here. First and foremost, I enjoy being outdoors. The outdoors is one of my areas of where I don't spend enough time. So I've taken one of my dreams since I was little is being part of a coach, you know, and coaching AYSO kids. So I started doing that this summer. So I look forward to being more outdoors. In addition, is another of my goals has always been to work on cars. And I just recently started rebuilding one of my old high school vehicles that I first have, and I started working on that specific and back my backyard.
Okay, well, very good. I don't know much about cars, but I do know quite a bit about soccer. Do you have any favorite teams locally or perhaps across the globe, Gio?
Across the globe, I'm sure everybody can be aware that Real Madrid has always been a champion in the Latin American countries. So And it's where I certainly have followed their expertise.
Los Galacticos, sí?
That is muy bien.
Ah, very good. Real Madrid has actually been to the Los Angeles area a couple times, and I've been fortunate to see them. For those of you in the audience, know the name David Beckham. Actually, one of his, he actually came over from Real Madrid and joined my favorite club, the LA Galaxy. So it was really neat to see the Galaxy play Real Madrid, and just Real Madrid definitely outclassed the Galaxy at that point, but we're hoping in the years to come.
And we're getting there.
Yes. very good. So welcome, Gio. Gio, can you share with us a little bit about your role at SeniorServe and what some of the projects that you've worked on or are going to be working on in the years to come?
Perfect. I first joined SeniorServe in 2009. In 2011, I taken the lead of WP Home and Care Services, which pretty much emphasizes all of our safety net programs for SeniorServe. Most people know Community SeniorServe or SeniorServe as the Meals and Wheels provider, but we're beyond that. We are an organization that looks after the continuum of care. So when we look at the continuum of care, we look at independent to high acuity. So it was a natural fit for us to start looking and seeing how the community is, or the resources that are available in their community. So we have several programs that emphasizes in those bridges. We provide a home hot lunch to community senior centers. That's over 25 senior centers that we serve. In addition to that, we have here our Meals on Wheels program. That's over 900 homebound seniors. Our adult day healthcare, which is a medical model that supports full-time nurses, LVNs, CNAs, for their therapeutic treatment. They will also transport them to the program, so it's a viable resource for patients who need extra medical support. And then we have our Buena Park site, which is a early stages of Alzheimer's and dementia program. In 2013, we were selected by CMS to be part of the demonstration plan of the Community Care Transitions program. It was a natural fit. You know, it was a natural fit. As a result, we were able to partner with four area hospitals in Orange County. And we were very successful in mixing both the medical and also the social, psychosocial elements of care that were very eye-opening to a lot of our healthcare partners.
Very good. So let's say I'm here in North Orange County in the healthcare field, and I have a patient that may need some assistance. How does someone get plugged in with SeniorServe? How does a patient get referred to y'all? Can you tell me about that process?
Well, we have a calling number. You know, they can look us up on the website. But mostly, our seniors don't have access to many of those functions to connect with us. So what we do is we try to educate the community as much as possible, partner with community members that are able to reach out to that population and share what is available out there for them.
And case managers in the hospital, I have a case management background, and case managers are well aware of SeniorServe primarily for the Meals on Wheels portion, but these additional healthcare-related services are really important for these seniors. So the case managers in hospitals are very knowledgeable of the services that SeniorServe provides, and they also provide a lot of referrals.
Great, Marianne. Thanks so much for sharing about the case managers in the hospitals. I've been in hospital settings, and it seems like case managers are definitely a good resource for families or anybody else listening out there that may not be too familiar with the intricacies of healthcare. Definitely work with a social worker or case manager in any setting that your loved one is in, whether it's skilled nursing, acute care, or hospital setting. Those folks are great resources, and if they don't know the answer, they should be able to point you in the direction of someone who will. Now tell us about the going back to the geography of SeniorServe. You guys are in North Orange County, correct?
We're in Central and North Orange County.
Central and North Orange County.
That's
okay,
correct.
Tell us about how far south you go, and let's say beyond those borders, are there any other resources out there that can provide the same type of services that you guys do?
Well, we when we talk about centralizing the area, is we have a sister agency similar to SeniorServe, which is AgeWell, and it's
okay.
Pretty much the southern cities of Orange County. So we have a good partnership Whenever we see that there's a need in the southern area of Orange County, we refer back and forth to make sure that the needs of those patients or seniors are being met.
Okay, very good. And how about for the city of Irvine? Do either of you cover the city of Irvine? I heard the city of Irvine has a program as well.
City of Irvine does, it's part of our partnership as well, as there are many community organizations out in Orange County that have similar services such as SeniorServe, but they're focused on their own specific city, and Irvine happens to have that.
Okay, very good. Let's talk about the future of SeniorServe. Marianne, you're a board member here at SeniorServe, and again have quite a bit of knowledge in population health and various aspects of healthcare. Can you tell us about the future of SeniorServe and where you see SeniorServe in the next few years?
Yes, definitely. I think healthcare reform, one of the things that in a positive way is really pushing healthcare providers to begin to partner with community agencies such as SeniorServe. And I think the services provided by SeniorServe can be provided at a lower cost. You're not hiring full-time RNs to go out into people's homes. It's not the same as home health. It's really, when we talk about our care transitions program, the value of having eyes in the home, it's so different from the hospital perspective of they check off the checklist and they think that people are ready to go home, and they send these seniors home, and unless you are in the home and see what the gaps are, so there's a huge gap in healthcare. It's talked about every day. And the coordination of care, I see SeniorServe playing a big role in that in the future. We're still in a learning phase, both as healthcare providers and as community providers, learning our language, learning how we're going to work together, and some of the payment models are some of the biggest challenges, because right now it's everyone believes in the value of the services, but who's going to pay for it? And that's one of the things that I see coming down with healthcare reform and the accountable care organizations, that we'll start providing these services in the community as an alternative to bringing people in the hospital. I think the future is very bright, but we're very much on a learning curve.
Absolutely, and one of the big things you mentioned is who's going to pay for it, and that's something I think we've all heard. Susan was kind enough to make me aware of the organization last week that is actually funded by Medicare for care transitions. What was the name of that group, Susan?
Marianne, that was Global.
Or Marianne.
Global Transition Care.
Okay.
It's they are certified by CMS to provide some of those coordinated services, and they're brand new in Orange County. They're the first organization in Orange County to provide those services.
That's great. So it sounds like Medicare is open to change, obviously, and they're even starting to fund some of this care transitions work that wasn't necessarily funded before. That brings up the word of the day. So again, for the audience, you can email Gavin at pophealthpodcast.com with the word of the day. And the first 5 individuals to go ahead and send the word of the day to me will be entered into a raffle just for a free Pop Health Podcast t-shirt. Don't forget your t-shirt size. The word of the day is funding. The word of the day is funding. Please email me, Gavin at pophealthpodcast.com. And for the guests in the audience, please don't tell your friends until this is released. And again, first 5 folks to shoot me that email will be entered into a raffle. Please don't forget your t-shirt size. Let's talk a little bit about other community providers out in the area. Maybe they're your partners, maybe they're not. So Gio, can you tell me a little bit more about some of your post-acute, or for the audience out there that may not know the term post-acute, that's after a inpatient hospital stay. There's other providers like skilled nursing facilities, home health agencies, durable medical equipment companies. SeniorServe could even be considered post-acute in a sense, even though folks typically refer to SeniorServe as a community-based organization. But Gio, tell me about some of your post-acute providers or some of your partners and how you work with them.
I will tell you, Gabby, that one of our biggest eye-openings where we first rolled out our Care Transitions program was identifying who the pillars of partnerships needed to be. And it was very evident in early stages of our rollout of our programs that the community needed to be involved, you know, and understanding what is happening at home, you know, connecting those caregivers with the right resources. It's not just about caregiving. There's also a burnout aspect that is quite not taken in consideration when you're dealing with transition of care. So what our role was is to continue to build the partnerships with the home health agencies, the hospital systems, and educate the work with the downstream communication with hospital systems and health plans, that it was important for them to understand what is actually happening at home. You know, a patient just wants to go home. As soon as they are admitted, they want to go home. And all the checkboxes are checked. But once you go home and realize it is a complete different scenario, where even though there's meals provided, may not be the appropriate meals for those chronic conditions, such as diabetes or CHF admissions. So it's important that we share that communication back to our partners so that we can begin closing those gaps.
Are you able to share who some of your partners are out in the community and maybe some folks you're really excited to partner with?
Well, we partner with four area hospitals: UCI Medical Center, Anaheim Regional Medical Center, and St. Joseph's Health.
Okay, are there any other partners maybe on the post-acute side that y'all work with? Maybe folks that help with you in the home, or maybe some local sites that people can go to? I know you have your own adult day programs. Are there any other organizations out there that you would suggest for people to look into?
Well, it's a matter of connecting the dots.
Okay.
And it's important that our partnerships, and what we look for is a long-term partnership. It's not just about providing a service, but it's an ongoing process of going through those challenging periods. 24-hour care it's certainly an avenue that we are strongly working with to become stronger partners in the community, because there's such high need out there for supported services, and I think it's there's not enough partnership being built.
Absolutely. Agree. There can never be enough. And the term you might hear out there quite a bit, some people might say, hey, there's another collaborative, or there's another collaboration. It's definitely a word that's heard a lot. I don't think we can overuse that term, but I know it's used quite a bit, as is population health and readmission prevention. One of the terms we hear out there is bundled payment. Lately, we still hear about accountable care organizations. SeniorServe leadership here, are any of your projects involved with bundled payments? Or I know you're not a payer necessarily, but do y'all work with accountable care organizations at all?
We do. Okay. We do. And again, that goes back to the original partnerships, is identifying that health plan hospital systems, they need the community engagement. We know the community. There's a saying that it was a very commonly known in our care transitions program. Hospitals, ACOs will say, well, they have the clinical, the data, and the risk. CBOs have, they understand the community, and they have the social, psychosocial elements of care to be able to be delivered out there in the community.
Okay, great. Thanks for that explanation, Gio. Now, one thing we like to ask all our guests is best practices, or what are your best practices with patient compliance? It's one of the most difficult challenges in the healthcare realm. I see it in my role, in my profession, outside of the podcast, of course. And maybe we'll go to Mary Ann on this one. Mary Ann's a nurse, again, with quite a bit of experience in the healthcare world. Mary Ann, tell us a little bit about patient compliance. How can we, as a community, encourage patient compliance, and how can we improve patient compliance?
I think that I'm glad you said compliance. Some people say patient non-compliance, and it's a word that I want to, you know, scratch out of our vocabulary. Patients will be compliant if they understand the instructions. And through the work that SeniorServe has done in care transitions, and I have a consulting business that I also work in, so I've been working with hospitals across the country on readmission prevention and meaningful use. That's probably another term that you've heard out there. So the government is paying organizations to capture and report data, and that there are certain criteria that need to be met. And so the meaningful use criteria, which is excellent, is geared at a smooth transition from provider to provider, whether that's an acute hospital back to a skilled nursing facility, skilled nursing back to the primary care physician. And the intent was to have clear communication. Unfortunately, these seniors and younger people are going home with 7 or 8 pages of discharge instructions that all meet meaningful use criteria, but are not at all clear to the patient or the family. And so the service that's provided by having somebody go into the home is to sit down in a less stressful environment and really help patients understand when their next follow-up appointment is. Medication compliance is the top contributor to hospital readmissions, to initial hospital admissions, and just to a complexity of disease. If patients aren't taking their medications correctly, their disease process is not managed. And when, from my background working in the acute area, people come into the hospital and we ask them what their medications are, and they give a partial list often because it's all they remember. Then we go out to the home and we, in a social model that's less threatening, say, you know, where's that Tupperware box that you keep with all the medication? Let's take a look at that together. And we go through there, we make a new medication list. So educating and communicating to the patient and their family is really the key to compliance. And I think it's a huge opportunity. You know, healthcare providers are really busy. They want to do the right thing, they believe they're doing the right thing. But the reality is that the language that we use, the terminology we use, patients don't understand. So going into the home and taking a little bit more time, which our care navigators, you know, their whole focus is to spend a couple hours in the home, and we review the instructions. And then when you, you know, you asked about partnering, today there is not as much partnering as there needs to be, but we envision the future being, I'm at the home if as a care navigator, and I can pick up the phone and reach the physician office and say, I'm here with Mrs. Gomez, and these are the medications, and there's a disconnect. She's got all these other ones. And trying to resolve that right then and there, because that's what's going to prevent that patient from bouncing back to the emergency department, which is also very costly, or getting readmitted to the hospital. So it all comes down to clear communication and then making sure that the patient or family member understands. So in healthcare, we call that a teach back.
Yep.
And we've got to do better teach backs and really be certain that they understand the instructions as they transition from one level of care to another.
Yeah, so teach back is definitely a term I think most of the audience is probably familiar with. The open-ended style, the request for more information from the patient to not just yes or no questions, those type of things. Now, you mentioned the term care navigators. Does SeniorServe have a team of care navigators?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do. It's part of our role with the Care Transitions program was to support what's needed out in the community. So we adopted the Coleman model, the Eric Coleman model, Care Transition Services, certified to be able to follow the pillars of care for be able to be successful and have the evidence base to be able to track those outcomes and performance measures that are so critical when it comes to sharing back that communication to our partners.
And to be a successful care navigator, Gio, do you need a clinical background, or what do you think is bringing success to this role?
Success, we tried both models, the medical, not as much, but the social model, since it's our forte, and I think it's already engraved in our brains to look at the social, psychosocial elements of at home and be able to connect with the patient, build trust, and they're able to share amazing information that sometimes is not even identified as an issue while they're being discharged at home, such as meals. You know,
yeah.
It's a key component of making sure that they have the proper diets when they go home, and or if they have the meals, someone to prepare those meals.
Now, meal preparation and nutrition, you hit right on it. It's a big issue. Obviously, SeniorServe is, I think, the largest, you mentioned previously,
yes.
Is the largest provider of Meals on Wheels here in the county.
Orange County.
Orange
yes.
County.
Yes.
Now, are those meals delivered 5 days a week? Tell me about that.
Well, for our Care Transitions program, we have a post-discharge meal package, which is identified prior from discharge if this patient needs meals post-discharge. So it's a 10-day meal package. After, if the patient requires additional meals, then we are able to link him into our Meals on Wheels program or find additional supported services or partnerships that are able to provide the ongoing if there's a need.
Okay, can you give me some basic criteria of how someone can qualify for the regular Meals on Wheels program?
60 years of older.
Okay.
You know, and if they're homebound, you know, if there's certain criteria that those are the two major components.
Okay.
60 years of older and they are homebound, and there's no other means of meal preparation or financial support.
And how are these seniors with actually eating those meals versus, you know, things in their home that maybe aren't so healthy? Do you find that the do you call them clients here, participants? What do you call your those that you serve?
We call them clients.
Do your clients tend to your knowledge, go ahead and complete these meals? Are they still tending to go back to their kitchen and maybe get some things they're not supposed to eat?
Well, it's part of the education part as well, is our navigators are able to link the education and nutritional component to part of those meals. And it's important that they understand the appropriate nutrition so they can stay away from being admitted again. But I would tell you that one of the biggest challenges we had is even though they have meals at home, is they're not eating the proper diet. And they're overwhelmed when the patient gets home. There's just too many hands being touched. And so they don't know which direction to go to. And our care navigators are able to explain the process and the discharge plans on a more one-on-one basis with language that are able to understand. And there's follow-up calls. There's follow-up visits where the trust and the connection builds it.
Trust and connection, that's key, I think. Even with your meal deliverers, you know, even people opening the door, sometimes they don't trust who's coming to the door. Mm-hmm. So I think those are two key terms that we all, if we're not familiar with already, we should be. So let's talk a little bit about this very special event coming up in October. I know this is, I believe, its sixth year.
Fifth
year, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Wow, jumping ahead here. So Susan is a big part of this program coming up in October. Susan, tell us a little bit about the Senior Care Hero Awards coming up in its fifth year.
Right. Well, the Senior Care Hero Awards, like I mentioned, is the Academy Awards of the senior industry. We started this because the group of people that initially put this together was a small collaborative back in 2011, and we wanted to do something to recognize all of those people who do so much for so little. We were focused initially on caregivers or CNAs who get the least amount of money for the most amount of care. And we just really wanted to be able to call attention to those people and what they do. And then from that, we wanted to broaden out as we were creating this idea in our heads. So we wanted to recognize many different people across the continuum of care. And so we went to social workers and doctors. And then within the next year, we recognized, hey, there's people out in the community that are non-professionals that need that kind of recognition. Caregivers within the home that are taking care of their family members who have given up so much to do so. Veterans, volunteers, just seniors overall who are doing magnificent things in that chapter of their life. So we wanted to put together something that would really honor these people. And of course, SeniorServe as a whole, we are getting reduced funding. And so this is our major fundraiser, and we really need to be able to continue the services that we do. So that's part of it as well.
Great. Who are some of the supporters of this event? How have you guys been able to thrive and grow over the few years that you've been doing this?
Well, we have had some magnificent supporters, and actually, you are one this year, so thank you very much. But we have this year CareMore as our diamond sponsor. They've been extremely generous. And in fact, George Fields, who is the CMO for CareMore Essentials, is our Lifetime Achievement Honoree this year. We also have St. Joe Hope Health and Cigna, who've put together the Platinum sponsorship. We are also bringing back Kaiser. Kaiser has been a sponsor also for several years. We've got SCAN, we've got Health Essentials in and of themselves, Silverado, Care Choices. I mean, there's just so many people that are in the higher levels of sponsorship. KPC Healthcare, who has just come on board as a sponsor. And then we have a lot of table sponsors, people who aren't able to go at the larger levels, but they want to be a part of it and they want to participate. What I am most concerned with, really, though, coming back to those who we honor, I want to see those people nominated. I want to see so many people nominated that we have to expand our finalist categories to 10 people. Because when you're there, that Academy Award feeling, those names and faces come up on that big screen, there's just nothing like it.
Very good. I have actually seen some video. I believe it's on seniorserve.org or senior...
SeniorCareHeroAwards.org.
And there's quite a bit of video from the past event. I'm not sure about years beyond last year as well. Is there...
There's some, yes, there are pictures going back. Absolutely.
Looks like a very first-class affair from what I've seen. I know the MC was a local news personality. Is that correct?
Last year, Henry DiCarlo, who is the KTLA Morning News guy, he does the weather, he came on board last year. He actually was having an experience, he and his wife, with his mother-in-law, who was facing some challenges. And so his heart was really being touched in that way. He came on board last year, experienced it as a guest host, and actually asked me, could I come back?
Wow, that's tremendous. I know that personality from KTLA, I believe. Is that correct? And that's really neat to have that kind of support from a well-known individual here in Southern California. And again, to learn more about the Senior Care Hero Awards, what's that address again, Susan?
SeniorCareHeroAwards.org.
Great. And the deadline for nominations is what day?
Nominations and voting close on August 31st. August 31st is the last day you can nominate and or vote.
Very good. And again, last year I think you had over 500 individuals.
Yes, yeah, and we're already almost at that in our table count. So we would want to encourage anybody who wants to come on board to sponsor to let me know right away. We want to make sure we have room for you.
Great. Well, congratulations on the success. It's been neat to see over the last few years. I had a very good friend, one of his staff members won one of the caregiver awards last year, and it can be a very emotional event. So for those of you out there in the healthcare world, I highly recommend at least checking out the site and possibly supporting this event. It's a great organization to support here at SeniorServe, but also just to support the senior care community is much needed and much appreciated. So our time is running short here. If there is something we can take away from the podcast, if there's one thing that the audience can take away, we know about the Senior Care Hero Awards. I think that's a good takeaway from Susan. Marianne, is there anything, if maybe in the 15, 30 seconds, what can the audience take away from this podcast and what SeniorServe is doing?
How at risk seniors are in the hospital. We ask the right questions, but we're not getting the complete answers. And in our pilot, we learned at one hospital, 66% of the people who were being discharged from the hospital needed meals at home. That's something as healthcare providers that we can't even fathom, and they've been shocked to learn those statistics. So we need to ask the questions differently and in a safe environment, and really identify who these seniors are and that they're at risk. And SeniorServe can be out there and helping to coordinate that transition.
Great, Marianne. I didn't realize 66% of seniors out of the hospital need support in the home with meals.
At one of the hospitals, it was that high, but in a demographic of a lot of seniors living in the area, overall, it's just over 20% that need meals. And again, something that we didn't know as healthcare providers.
Okay, wow. So, and again, if you're not in the Orange County area, there's other community-based organizations in pretty much every community that can support you. If you're not in the Orange County area and you're looking for the local Meals on Wheels, feel free to do a quick internet search. Hopefully that'll connect to you. And then if not, maybe you can call SeniorServe and ask for a referral. Would that be something?
Yes.
If someone like in Los Angeles, for example, didn't know who to call, perhaps they can call here and get
that is correct.
Okay.
That would be correct. You know, we are, SeniorServe is an organization that looks after partnerships. And we like and understand that the communication is essential for our seniors and the most fragile to be able to live independently at home. So connecting them to those resources it's a vital component of senior serving in addition to closing the gap. Closing the gap between one transition of care to the next. It's identifying those areas that are so critical and at times so simple to address and correct that are can be easily be a education part for our seniors out there in the community and those partnerships that are so essential. There's so much need, but not enough support out there.
Very good, Gio. I like what you said about closing the gap, and it's great that we do have groups like SeniorServe who can help close that gap. And that will close this episode of Pop Health Podcast. Again, don't forget to send your word of the day. We'd like to thank again Susan Papiri, Marianne Vincent, and Gio Corzo, leaders here at SeniorServe. And we hope to see many of you at the Senior Care Hero Awards in October. Thanks so much.